Hibbard comes home. The pitch swung on and missed. The throw to second is in time. It's a strike him out, throw him out.
Kick it out left corner. DeAndre wide open for three. He hit it again.
Raider going deep over the middle. Caught. Rucker across midfield, and he's going to take it all the way to the house. 79 yards.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast, the A-State podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, an update on men's hoops. Ryan Pannone adding on to what's becoming a very impressive coaching staff. But we're going to spend most of our time talking baseball today as we're joined by an Arkansas State pitcher that is currently pitching in the most prestigious summer league in the entire country as he pitches in the Cape Cod League for the Wareham Gatemen. Through two starts now, has gone 9 2/3 innings. He's given up no runs on three hits. He's walked two and struck out 14. And he's been named the Cod Ball Pitcher of the Day after both of his starts. Let's welcome him in right now. It's Chase Richter. How you doing, Chase?
I'm doing good. How are y'all doing?
Two-time Cod Ball Pitcher of the Day.
Yeah, how about that?
How about it?
Well, I noticed that, and we're recording this on Sunday morning. Chase just pitched on Saturday night. That was his second start. So, you know, this is really fresh. And on the way, or right before I left the house, I did get on social media, and this was 20 minutes ago where I saw that Chase was the Cod Ball Pitcher of the Day.
There's a good NIL opportunity there. Have you made some Cod Ball Pitcher of the Day t-shirts with your name and number on the back? I think you'd move some of that.
Might have to go look into that.
All right. So what's the experience been like so far, Chase?
No, it's fun. Weather is really pretty up here, so can't complain. It's good baseball. No, it's fun. It's a good time up here.
Well, I'm interested, and you always hear about the Cape Cod League, and it is the most well-known, the most prestigious summer league for college baseball players. So tell us about getting the invite to play. How did that happen?
Yeah, basically, I was just golfing with my boys a couple of days before I headed up here, and they gave me a call asking if I could get up here by the 10th. So I'm always looking to get some outings out, and Cape Cod's a prestigious league, so I was definitely interested in. Just took it up right there and basically got my arm going and got up here as soon as I could.
So you're getting a jump start then on your all pitchers turn into golfers era?
Yeah. Got to have something else going for me when I'm not throwing.
How good are you?
Not good. We're working on it, though.
What's that mean, though? Because, I mean, like golfers, like, honestly, they're liars, but they're the only thing that they'll all, I mean, they all, like, sandbag themselves. Like, no matter what, they're going to tell
you
they're
not very
good.
I wish I could say I'm sandbagging, but I don't know about that one. If I can get off the tee box, I'll have a pretty good day, but it's very rare that I get off the tee box.
All right, so you've been in this Cape Cod League for just over a week. Tell us about the situation. What's the housing situation like? I know you've got a host family. How does that all work?
Yeah, it's nice. I got a host family. I stay with a mom and an 8-year-old son. They're very nice for me. They take care of everything I really need. They just give me a bed and basically a place to cook breakfast, and I'm pretty much gone throughout the day doing baseball and then back at night sleeping and basically repeating every day. So it's nice. They give me a nice place to stay. Yeah, and I have no complaints.
Did you say 8 month old?
8 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, no,
he's a little baseball player himself, so.
Okay, well, that's a little different situation.
All right, so we've talked about the start that you got off to in this Cape Cod League, and you're facing some really, really good hitters. You're off to a great start. So how much of a confidence booster is this to be pitching well against some great competition as you get ready for another season?
Yeah, it's great being able to just fill up the zone with my stuff and see it play. It's always a confidence booster. You know, I think just playing the game the same way, whether or not it's summer league or college ball. Having fun with it. But yeah, it's definitely a confidence booster when you can attack the zone and get the outings that I'm getting. So it's great.
I want to know, have you been watching the College World Series and paying attention to what Coastal Carolina has been doing?
I have. Obviously, I missed the game last night. I had to go watch the highlights because I was pitching during it. But no, I have been keeping up with it.
It's interesting because they've only been shut out twice this year. And it was mentioned last night, I know, just during the national broadcast, that the only other time they were shut out was back on April 6th, which you happened to come in and pitch the final two innings of that game to get the save and that 2-0 Sunday win at Coastal. So I want to know how much pride you take, number one, in being the only other team outside of LSU in the finals of the College World Series to shut out Coastal. But also, I mean, your team is the last Sun Belt team that beat those guys this year.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's awesome, especially for a guy like Jack Hibbert having a good freshman year like he did and being able to shut those guys out. I mean, his stuff was really good. I mean, yeah, it's cool. It's really cool.
So, hey, as a pitcher, and I know you said you didn't get to watch, you just had to see the highlights, but let's say, and it doesn't matter if it's college, major league, I don't care. If you're going to sit down and watch a game, and you're really going to get to sit down and watch it, and I'm going to tell you, okay, Chase, this game is either going to be 1-0 or 9-8, and you get to pick which one you're going to watch, which one you picking.
Ooh, that's tough. Obviously, as a pitcher, I like seeing guys shove and having a pitcher's duel, but at the same time, you know, you got to keep them fans it's fun to watch either way. Close games are always fun to watch.
We mentioned you've pitched twice so far this year, at least in your Cape Cod appearances, and they've both been starts, which I think you started once this year. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
During the season. So right. You've been that back end guy, the high leverage guy, as Mike Silva would refer to you most often. But what's the difference right now as you've kind of gone into a starting role during the summer? How different is your approach?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say the approach is completely different. I would say, I mean, I enjoy starting a little bit more just because I get to go out there with a fresh, clean slate and basically start off from scratch. But no, it's kind of the same mindset of just attacking guys early and getting outs quick and keeping my pitch count down and going right at guys. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's fun.
We'll get a little bit out of order if we get very far down this path, but I'm surprised to hear you just say the sentence you like starting more.
Yeah, if someone told me I would say that about 2 months ago, I'd probably be surprised as well. But, you know, I'm having fun with it. Talked to Silva a little bit about trying to start next year and basically just giving our team the best shot. So I think coming up here and getting some starts in and being able to throw from different situations definitely helps me.
Well, hang on. How receptive did he seem to that request?
We'll have to see how the ball goes.
The thing that would surprise me about that sentiment is that if you start, you're going to throw once a week. We were surprised if you didn't throw every day, but in all these different scenarios, it was a shocking day when we didn't see you. So maybe that's the thing that surprises me that you feel that way.
Yeah, there's pros and cons of starting. So, I mean, that start day is the most fun, but obviously you got to sit around for 7 days in college until your next go. So being able to pitch every game is always fun, but having that routine starting, you know, there's pros and cons to each.
I do want to talk a little bit about how you got to Arkansas State. You're a Tomball, Texas native. First off, tell us a little bit about your family. How'd you get into baseball in the first place?
I was always playing sports at a young age. My dad was a big football guy, so I was big into football when I was younger.
And, you're an all-state football player, by the way.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. and then basically I just started going into baseball. We got into high school, started getting more into the game itself. And then being a lefty, I will say my mom kind of talked me into doing baseball over football when we finished high school. And then obviously I chose to go the JUCO route just to continue playing, see how far I could go with the game. And I was at Northeast Texas and I went there for 2 years. And then I went to Nicholls State with Mike Silva and I was with him for 2 years over there. And then my last year at Ark State. But I just decided going with Silva. I always trusted him and, you know, I've seen him have success and trusting his managing abilities and obviously his head in baseball.
All right, I got two questions off of some of the stuff you just said. Number one, what position did you play in football?
Safety, running back, and receiver. Mostly safety, though.
And then are you a natural-born lefty, or did your dad just tie your right hand behind your back?
No, I think I'm natural. I think he tried to get me to throw righty a couple times just because he was righty, but he said it didn't really work out that well.
And you talk about your mom kind of talking you into playing baseball. So did you have chances to go play college football somewhere?
Yeah, I had a few decent opportunities to go play at some smaller schools, and then I had a few preferred walk-ons for some bigger schools. But yeah, my mom was always big on taking care of the body, and she was always worried about the contact in football. And I was me and my dad
She's a
weren't too
mom.
worried about that. But yeah, of course, of course. But yeah, I mean, being a lefty, I ought to take care, take advantage of my opportunity being left-handed, try to go as far as I can. And I enjoy baseball more than I do football now, so it was a great move.
You mentioned kind of your journey once you did get to college, the 2 years at Northeast Texas, and you spend the 2 years at Nichols. And Mike Silva has talked about this. He said, look, you didn't pitch much early on when you got to Nichols. He brags about just how far you've come. So kind of talk about overcoming some of those early struggles. And when was that point when it started to come together for you?
So my second year of junior college, I partially tore my UCL. So I was rehabbing that over the summer. And then I came into Nichols that I was healthy when I first got there, but I was still trying to have, you know, the right pitch design, continue to work on my mechanics, and nothing was really connecting. And I wasn't really filling up the zone, wasn't really attacking the zone with anything really. And so, I mean, just getting to a Division I program that Silva's ran very well, and seeing a bunch of arms ahead of me that just fill up the zone and attack them with their stuff, and how they develop and go about their routine, that definitely helped me. I mean, from that point on, I kind of just kept attacking every day the same way and just trying to get better.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea: customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same. You first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Continuing to visit with Chase Richter here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. So before last season, Coach Silva gets the job at Arkansas State. Was it automatic, that decision, that you wanted to follow him to Jonesboro?
Yeah, it was pretty automatic. I put my name in the portal as soon as he kind of made the decision that he was leaving Nichols and going to Ark State. And I reached out to him, letting him know that I would definitely be interested in coming to play with him. And obviously, I wanted to feel out the portal and see how it went. But yeah, Arkansas State was definitely like my first choice as soon as he made that decision.
So once you got here and you got into it, and I know we're going to kind of talk about the way the season unfolded, and so I could save this question, but I'll go ahead and ask it. I guess he was a year into it at Nichols when you got there, so it's you didn't necessarily see maybe the ground floor of that, but how similar are the situations, like the job he did at Nichols and what you guys did here in a year at Arkansas State, kind of what were the similarities between the two?
Right. I mean, y'all know Gavin Galley was our Friday night guy for most of the season. He was there the year before me at Nichols, and we've always had conversations about comparing that year to this first year at Ark State and how it's very similar. But yeah, I'd say it's very similar. I'd like to say that this next season is going to be very similar to that second season we had at Nichols too. So
it was a fantastic year for you personally. 28 appearances, which was the second most in the Sun Belt, 8 saves, which is second most in the league, held opponents to a 198 batting average. Personally, just how big of a step did you think you took last year?
Yeah, it was a big step. Obviously, you know, being able to get out there and perform and being able to just play for my guys majority appearances a week was great. And seeing that success is always great.
Well, as we mentioned, like, we saw you in nearly every possible scenario from, you know, getting the 27th out to having a, you know, time of sometimes, you know, we come in when a starter got hurt to, I mean, everything in between. I know you just talked about kind of the pros of starting, but how fun was it to know that, like, basically if the game had started, you had to kind of have your head right and be ready because at some point it was going to get to be Chase Richter time.
Right. Yeah, it was awesome. It was great being able to be in the dugout and know that my name might be called every day. It's always nice. That's what I was talking about earlier with starting. It's, obviously, that start day is great, but that time in between ain't too fun, so it was nice being able to throw every day.
And you were part of a really good staff last year that finished top 20 in the nation in ERA. I'm sure you knew you had some good arms going into the season. Did you have any idea you'd be that good, just collectively as a staff?
So, I mean, every year you go into the season hoping for a good year. There was never a doubt that we could be that good. It was just up to us to whether or not we did it or not. But, you know, we don't have any, like, flamethrowers or any guys with crazy stuff. But, I mean, we just have a bunch of guys that trust their stuff and attack the zone and get ahead of hitters and go right at them.
The pitching staff, you know, you guys kind of rounded into form pretty early. The offense was later to come around. I can remember Coach Silva coming in one day and saying, if I was our pitchers, I'd be mad at our offense. Because you guys kept the team in a bunch of games that didn't turn into wins. At what point did you kind of think, standing outside the offense and watching from a pitcher's perspective, when did you see things kind of turn around for those guys?
Probably when we started facing quality opponents. I mean, we respect every opponent, but when we started playing really good teams, really kind of, I think, just added to that competition with the hitters. And I mean, it just took them for a little bit just to get going. So us pitchers, we just tried to hold it there until our bats started going. And once we started going, I don't think there's very many teams in the country that could beat us.
Well, we're bragging about you. We're bragging about these pitchers, but I do want to brag about your pitching coach a little bit. How good is Cody Livingston? How much has he helped in your development?
Oh, he's helped me a lot, man. He's a great coach. Yeah, he's a great guy. He was there for me when I wasn't a very good pitcher, and he's there for me when I am a good one. But, yeah, no, he's done a lot for us and the staff. He's a great baseball mind and definitely helps us out a lot.
I do want to bring up some of the highlights late in the year. And one in particular I want to bring up is that Thursday night game in Lafayette that clinched the conference tournament berth. I thought it was really cool. One of the storylines in that one was the three Nichols transfers were the ones that pitched in that game. Gavin Galley started, Jack Nelson came in after that, and then it was you that closed it out. So how much did that previous postseason experience that you guys had at Nichols, how much did that help you out in that moment? That was a big moment for you guys, and I'm sure that's a win that you're going to remember for a long time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think any experience you get in the postseason is good for you, whether it's positive or negative. But yeah, I definitely think it helped us out a lot. You know, at the end of the day, we were just going right at guys, trusting our stuff and trying to get us in the tournament. So that's really all it came down to.
You know, there were a bunch of guys, I say a bunch, I mean, a dozen or so, that if you looked up and down the roster, they were listed as seniors. You're one of them. Right. Yet we're over there kind of getting ready for senior day, and they hand me the list of guys, and there are six names on there. You're not one of them. And obviously what's going on in college athletics and guys and gals able to kind of get their years back from JUCO has what's made that possible. So I guess I'll start by asking this. If you go 2 years at JUCO and then 2 years at Nichols, did you come here thinking you were pitching your last college season at Arkansas State, or did you already know that maybe you would have a chance to get another one?
No, when I came in, I definitely thought it was my last year for sure. I was not aware, and I'm still unaware of a lot of the rulings for the JUCO to D1 to D2, all those transfer rules. But yeah, when I came in, I definitely thought that was my last year for sure.
When did that start to change? When did the conversation shift to you might be able to get one back?
I think that was halfway through the spring. We're like midway through the year, kind of having those meetings as to what we're doing next year, how the year's going, kind of that thing. But yeah, I think it was like middle of spring when we started talking about me possibly having another year.
And I know you're excited about this team. I mean, we can tell just talking to you, you're excited about next year. But we've seen in this postseason alone, obviously a team in the conference going all the way to the finals of the College World Series. We see what Murray State was able to do going all the way to the College World Series. Is there a kind of why not us mindset now with you guys?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there definitely was last year as well, you know, going to the regional twice in a row with Nichols. And we don't have near the resources that we do at Ark State, so I don't think there's any reason why we can't do that this year.
Well, I'm watching you right now as we record this over Zoom. I know you're going somewhere else. You've got a very busy schedule right now, but, man, you got to be having a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, it's really fun up here. I'm enjoying baseball as long as I can play it. So, yeah, it's a great time up here. Pretty weather. I haven't experienced the beaches yet. Maybe on one of my off days I'll have to go check that out. But, yeah, I'll explore a little bit more of Massachusetts. But, yeah, it's a great time up here.
Well, here's hoping for some more Codball Pitcher of the Day awards before you get back to Jonesboro.
Yes, sir.
Chase, appreciate you joining us, buddy. Good luck the rest of the summer, and can't wait to see you next year.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. Let's talk a little men's hoops. They've been practicing the last couple of weeks, and I was actually able to go out for a little while the other day. Number one, it was great to see him out there. Great to see a Coach Pannone practice for the very first time. A couple of things I noticed. Number one, the energy was off the charts. Number two, in over 20 years of being here now, have never been to a practice where there were zero returning players on a roster. So I'm basically getting to know the entire gym as I'm looking out at these guys. But I will tell you, when I walked in the first 10 minutes, I can't tell you how many people, players and coaches and support staff alike, came over and introduced themselves. And as much as anything, you know, that just kind of speaks to the character of the people that are around the program right now.
So as we're recording this, last weekend, I had my two youngest and we were in a store. We were kind of walking toward a group of four guys that you could tell were probably basketball players, but I couldn't tell you who because I hadn't met those guys yet either. And here's the thing, like, the coolest part about it is I didn't know them and they didn't know me. But my youngest son had an Arkansas State basketball shirt on. And so as they walked by, they stopped and touched me and said, "Ooh, I like that shirt." And it's like, and they had no clue. Yeah, I worked in the department. They literally, they would have done that to anybody they passed by in a store wearing an Arkansas State basketball shirt. And that was cool. It made me feel good about this bunch and what you hear Coach Pannone. I heard him say, matter of fact, he was on with Brandon Baxter and Kelly Perry last week on the Arkansas's morning show, and I listened to that. And he just said, and it wasn't even in a way, there was no knock on anybody. He said, there are coaches out there who are very good at coaching guys who aren't high character, and he's not one of them. He said, it would make me miserable.
Yeah.
But early returns, what you said, and like I said, that brief encounter I had shows you that that there will be a group of guys that you went out there representing Arkansas State.
I've had conversations before with people about this and a similar one last week. The basketball season is so long. The football season, bowl included, once the games start, it's about a four-month season. Baseball is about a three-month season, hopefully longer than that this next year. But basketball is a full five-month schedule, and these guys, again, are practicing already right now during the summertime. They're around each other nonstop. It's going to be miserable, as you said, if you don't have people you want to be surrounded by. And we'll be honest, there's teams, regardless of sport, where you remember, okay, they were okay on the floor, but just really didn't enjoy being around that team as much as others. But I like Ryan Pannone's sentiment in that, you know, I'm not going to enjoy myself unless I'm surrounded by good guys.
So I'm glad you got to check them out. I'm looking forward to doing the same soon. And I know we're going to talk about a couple of other bits of news he made, but I want to say this. Same thing where I'm looking forward to getting to go watch Coach Dez and the women work out.
Yeah.
I saw her after their first one. She'd come over to the office for something after straight off the floor after their first workout, and she was excited. She says, I know we just did it one time, but I think we'll be pretty good.
I can't wait. I know she's excited about the quality of talent she brought in, and obviously she's got a lot more to sell than she ever has. But, yeah, we need to do one of these where we focus on women's hoops in the very near future. I do want to mention a couple things, though. A couple of more hires. And, look, the men's roster is looking impressive. I think they really, really like the quality of player that they brought in. But this coaching staff is really impressive, too. And just a few weeks ago, we had Hayden Sowers in on this podcast, and really neat to kind of get to know him. You can't help but be impressed with everything he brings to the table. But a couple of more hires were announced this past week, and guys that have actually been around for a few weeks, but it was officially announced. And I had a chance to talk with this first one for quite a while when I was at practice the other day, and that's Dean Cooper.
You were hanging with Mr. Cooper?
I was hanging with Mr. Cooper, and he's a new assistant coach, but he might be overqualified. Most recently, Dean Cooper was an owner, a consultant, and coach for his own player development company. Before that, he spent 22 seasons in the NBA as an assistant or a scout. He's been with the Bulls, the Blazers, the Timberwolves, and the Rockets. And he was hired, and you can read it in the press release, to spearhead the defense. So he's kind of our defensive coordinator, if you will. He's also been a D-League head coach for the Idaho Stampede and Salt Lake City Stars. I was really, really impressed just talking with that guy. He is so excited to be here, number one. He's excited to be in Jonesboro. I asked him, did he have to think much about taking the job? He said it was a no-brainer for him. He wanted to be with Ryan Pannone and this program. He grew up about an hour from Butch Jones up in Michigan. So they know a lot of kind of the same area, and they've already had those conversations. But he reminds me of another overqualified assistant coach that we had about a decade ago, well, closer to 15 years ago, and that was a former Final Four head coach in Richard Williams. And I will tell you, I enjoyed the heck out of Richard Williams being around. He is a first-class person, number one. And, man, it was just so fun to talk ball with that guy. And I know you did the same thing. But I can tell already, I'm just really going to enjoy my conversations with Dean Cooper, because he has a lot of stories to tell from his time in the NBA and all across the world of basketball. But it's exciting to have a guy like that around.
Got
to
get him in here.
Yes, he is definitely a future podcast. Another hire was Anthony Goods. That was announced the other day. Most recently, a draft scouting consultant for the Pistons. Before that, was a great player at Stanford. Spent 11 seasons playing professionally overseas and in the D League. So just the resumes across the board for this coaching staff, really, really impressive.
Yeah, he's got a neat group put together, even his kind of non-coaching roles. I mean, we have the Hops in here. We got a team with Hops.
Yeah, and you've been able to hang around them a little bit.
Yeah, Zachary's really, I mean, his deal is analytics. Ashton, she runs the thing, period. Like, she really good in an Ops role. She's got a lot of ties to Northeast Arkansas family from around here, which is cool. So I like the group he's put together, you know, on the floor and off. And I'm real anxious to see, you know, both those teams. But, yeah, just the thing that struck me when Hayden Sowers was in here was just talking about the thing he said to us. And the thing about it is, I don't remember if we were recording or not. Maybe we were, maybe we weren't. But the conversation was the same, where he said, Ryan Pannone's better than advertised on the floor and off.
Yeah.
He's better on the floor than he thought he was going to be, and he thought he was going to be really, really good. He said he's better off the floor than he thought he was going to be, especially he talked about the player development side of it and how elite, you know, what they're doing from a player development standpoint is. I'm excited to watch this thing come together.
One thing that I thought was cool about Coach Pannone the other day, we were at practice, and they were having a drill, a shooting competition. You know, they had a group on each end of the floor, and the team that lost had to drop down right away and do 10 push-ups. He got down there and did push-ups with them. He's that kind of guy. So I was impressed with that. But, yeah, just a bunch of good guys. I'm looking forward to being around this team, the coaches and the players alike.
Me too. And then, you know, outside of that, other things, you know, it was a busy week and been busy times, you know, like looking out my window and, you know, a lot of camps going on. I think football wrapped up their last prospect camp over the weekend, but, you know, they had 7-on-7, which to me, nothing really made my heart happier than the day they had 7-on-7 and seeing all the high school teams there taking part in camp.
Yeah.
You know, on our field inside the vault and over on the practice field and other practice fields. They had games going everywhere, which I thought was cool. And, you know, they had a big recruiting weekend, a big weekend of unofficial visits, their pack party over the weekend. And you can already kind of see the fruits of that. They picked up multiple commitments coming off the pack party. That's exciting. And then we saw the soccer schedule. Volleyball is coming quick. I've had somebody ask me about that just the other day. There's really just getting a contract back or something is all it lacks being announced and put out there with the volleyball schedule. But soccer schedule's out there. They actually play an exhibition at home August 3rd.
Man,
yeah,
that's so early.
So it's basically, depending on when you're listening to this, just over a month away from the first home event of the year.
All right. Well, fun episode. A lot of good stuff on the horizon. And in the meantime, Chase Richter is just going to keep mowing them down in the Cape Cod League. I've always kind of been fascinated with the Cape Cod League and how that works. I'd love to travel around for a few days and just watch some of that talent up there, because that's next level talent. These are guys that have a really, really good shot at playing for a while on the next level. And you know there's a whole lot of scouts up there watching them every single pitch. And what a great opportunity for Chase, and just happy that he was able to join us today. Happy he's off to such a great start.
I'm still going to believe he's in the starting rotation when I see it, because he's all and I'll tell you this, if the season rolls around and Chase Richter's in the rotation, that tells me about what Mike Silva thinks about the rest of the bullpen, because my goodness, was that guy valuable in that bullpen?
Oh my goodness.
In 2025.
Thanks again to Chase Richter for joining us. Thanks to our buddy Davey Stinchcomb helping set that up for us. For Brad, I'm Matt. Always appreciate you listening. Have a great week. We'll visit with you next time on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and the Cavanaugh Auto Group.